I saw a story in the Chicago Tribune, and I read through it, and I thought, I got to get Patrick on to kind of get his take on it. The crux of the story, and Patrick, you can help fill in any of the details if I leave anything important out, but essentially there was a Lebanese-American lawyer, and she's accusing a national law firm of discrimination. This was in a recently filed lawsuit, and she says that she was fired the day before she was set to start a job at the firm's Chicago office. And this was in late October of last year. And that timing, of course, is essential to this. She says that she, while she was a law school graduate, interned with this firm the previous summer, which happens a lot, right, Patrick, in law?
Yeah, that's how it works. So after your second year of law school, you'll get a job, hopefully, in a law firm for the summer. And if all goes well, you'll get a permanent offer to start when you graduate the following year.
Okay, so that seems to be what happened here. She did that, yes, for the summer. They offered her the position to begin in the fall of 2023. And then 15 hours before she was set to start work, she was fired, according to the lawsuit. The Sunday before, I mean, like really the day before she was supposed to start work, the firm had asked her to come to the office where they interrogated, according to her, for 2 hours. She says it was a very hostile manner, and essentially that they pulled out a bunch of social media posts, screenshots about speeches that this person has made, their background, their identity. It goes deeper than that, but essentially the crux of it was, and the law firm has said this, that they stand by their decision to rescind her employment offer as a result of statements she made surrounding the horrendous attacks by Hamas on October 7th. We're not going to get into the back and forth of that entire issue, but it is a hot button issue now. It was certainly in October. So, Patrick, where do we start with this one? I mean, there's a lot of employment law questions I imagine you have when you read this article.
Yeah, so let's, John, start with the two legal interests that are really pitted against each other here. First is this individual's right to be free from discrimination as protected under the Illinois Human Rights Act and actually Title VII with regard to national origin and religion. Those are things that are specific to her as an Arab Muslim American. Those interests are pitted directly against the employer's interest in Illinois and most other places to terminate someone for any reason or no reason, so long as it's not an illegal reason. So let's just say, for example, this law firm, which I think it does, has a policy that prohibits social media posts, any sort of public commentary that it believes reflects poorly upon, you know, its business, or frankly, it just doesn't agree or want such posts made on behalf of their employees. It can terminate someone for that. Because, John, this is really important, and people, I think, sometimes get confused by this. There's no First Amendment right to protection for political speech if you work for a private employer. It's only those folks who work for government agencies have a First Amendment protected right to be free from discrimination, retaliation, termination based on political speech. If you work for a private company, you do not have a First Amendment right to that protects you in terms of your political speech. You just don't. So this law firm is obviously a private employer. They rescinded their offer based on posts and social media comments and participation of this employee. And I think they have a pretty good argument that that was legal.
Right. And again, we're not making statements on the veracity or the, you know, claims that, you know, the side that she perhaps represents. But I guess what you're suggesting is that any one of us, whether it's a hot button political issue or just, you know, unsavory posts that we have, a company has a right to say, sorry, that violates our policies. You're gone.
Yeah, they do. As long as, this is key in this case and every other case like this, as long as they're treating everyone the same. For example, if there was an employee who made a similar statement in support of, you know, allegedly in support of Hamas or Palestine, and they were white and they were not terminated or disciplined, then this particular individual could have a claim for discrimination or retaliation because she's Arab Muslim American. So that's the crux of her claim, right? That she's being treated in a discriminatory way. And she has to show that she's being treated differently.
Right, because it's not enough. Like we just said, the First Amendment doesn't protect you from a job firing you, but employment law does protect you if the crux or the change or the reason, essentially, when they isolate everyone else and they point to one person and you were the one that got fired and you happen to be different from the other person, that's where, based on an assortment of different classes, that's where it can be run afoul of the law.
Yeah, right. And as you can imagine, John, if this gets to a jury, and it easily could, because there's so many disputed facts here, you're going to have two very different arguments. The employee is going to argue that she was discriminated against and treated differently. The employer is going to argue that it's within its rights to terminate someone based on social media posts and policies and public commentary. And those are, you either believe one story or the other story. You can't, there's no in between. And whoever story you believe, that's going to be the prevailing side. So, but one thing I noticed that I thought was interesting here is she claims, at least in the article, that the law firm brought out a file with a bunch of things in there about her social media posts, et cetera, et cetera. So Illinois actually does have a law that does not allow an employer to maintain within your personnel file documents stuff regarding your political affiliations and activities related to those things. So
wait, really?
Yeah, so that that struck me as soon as I saw the fact that in the article that there was a quote unquote file on her. That is actually illegal in Illinois. So I don't know if that's alleged in the lawsuit, but if that's what happened, that could be a claim as well.
Well, that's an interesting. Is there a distinction, Patrick, between you can't have political history or information about your employee in a personnel file? Is that, can you separate that from they laid out these posts on the table? Do you see what I'm asking? Like,
yeah, I do. I see exactly what you're asking, and that's exactly what she's going to have to prove, right? I mean, if there's an allegation that that act was violated, it's an Illinois Record Keeping Act, then they're going to have to show that it was part of her personnel file. It wasn't just somebody, gathering these things and putting in a file. So that's part of the discovery process, and it could be part of the lawsuit.
What is allowed in a personnel file? Just the history of your employment there and only what happens inside the building or disciplinary things that happen within a building?
Essentially, yeah. Under the Illinois law, there's a sort of a laundry list of stuff, but it really needs to be related to any sort of employment document. And if it's a medical issue, that has to be separate. If it's any sort of investigation-related issue, that has to be kept separately. Both of those, medical and investigation, need to be kept confidentially in separate files. So there's a long list, but it's very clear in Illinois that political participation and affiliation absolutely cannot be kept. And that's sort of a remnant of a old school Chicago politics concern, which is, people are being fired left and right for their political, who they're spending time with politically outside the office. So,
yeah,
that's where that act came from.
Chatting with Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan Law. One other angle to this, she alleges that as soon as they sat down, like you mentioned, they pulled out a packet. Don't know if that's the personnel file or just what they brought to the meeting that day before. Again, this is the day before she started her job, 15 to 20 pages. And she tells the Chicago Tribune that when she really started to feel the anxiety and panic was when they started asking, according to her, questions about her father, where he worked. And she says she's a child of immigrants, and a big law firm starts asking about your father. She said alarm bells start going off in her head, again, according to the interview she did with the Chicago Tribune. If that's true, that does seem to step into a different area, right, Patrick?
Well, I don't think it really changes the analysis, which is, was she treated in a discriminatory or retaliatory way? So she doesn't get any more protection because of her affiliation with her father. But I will tell you, it's that kind of evidence certainly could support a claim of discrimination when you start to talk about family members. But John, remember, what we're talking about is discrimination in the workplace. So she still has to prove the same thing, which is she was treated differently because of her national origin or religion. And to your point, if folks who are being similarly questioned weren't asked about their family members, right, affiliations and activities, then that could easily be evidence of discrimination. As you can see, John, this is going to be a challenging case for both sides, because these are very, very strong and well-established legal interests here. And it's not uncommon, though, given the conflict in the Middle East, these sorts of lawsuits are more prevalent.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess what this ultimately comes down to, and we've talked about this in the past on previous shows, is, you know, to make a claim that you are being targeted based on your race, your sexual orientation, where you're from, your nation of origin, your religion, all these sorts of things. I imagine they are tougher cases for you when there is one person let go. There's not like a group that has been targeted, or there's not a lot of evidence that one person was fired and other people weren't, right? I mean, like, when it's a one-off, it's hard for you to build a bigger case around it.
It is harder. And as you might imagine, what you really need, you don't really get to learn until lawsuits filed and the discovery process has started and you get to depose people and ask about how the employer has treated other folks. So what you're relying on is knowledge that your client has through their work experience. And oftentimes they just don't know, understandably. Other folks don't talk about it with them, and the company certainly doesn't talk about it with them. So those are challenging aspects of any discrimination case.
One little other interesting nugget about this, and if you're just joining us, it's Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan Law. He's an employment lawyer. We're talking about a Lebanese-American lawyer, this article in the Trib, who has a lawsuit filed now accusing a law firm of discrimination for essentially firing her the day before she started the job because of posts she made on social media regarding the situation in the Middle East. The firm, according to her, also questioned her about her associations with Students for Justice in Palestine and public comments she made regarding a proposed ceasefire resolution at a Chicago City Council meeting, which, of course, are on the public record, and there's news organizations there. And I don't know where to even go with this one, Patrick, but just as a fair warning, you absolutely have the right to not be persecuted for what you say about X, Y, or Z from the government. But if you're going to be going to town meetings, if you're going to your local city council meetings or your library meetings, good, great for you. But the comments you do there do not protect you from being fired at your job.
Yeah, and I think people, again, aren't really aware of that. And I think it's incumbent upon companies and employers, when they're hiring folks and after folks have been hired, to make those policies known, the social media policies known to them, and what can get them disciplined or terminated. But overall, you know, folks need to be aware of that. And I completely understand. If you don't want to, you know, if you're disciplined or terminated for something you're saying along those lines, and you completely disagree, then, you know, the company would say, you don't have to work for us. But there's a very hard line in the sand. You cannot be treated differently because of what you're saying than other folks who are saying the same thing who are not in a protected category. So it really does make a difference when you're in that position, whether you know your rights or not, and you know your obligations or not. And folks really need to be aware of that.
The last complicating factor is, if she was fired because she was on one side of the issue, and let's say a lot of other people in this firm were on the quote-unquote other side of this issue and were not fired, does that difference in viewpoints raise any alarm bells for you, Patrick? And again, we're in a hypothetical here, and you could take this to any issue. Like, if you're on one side of the abortion issue and you get fired, and a bunch of people who are on the other side of the abortion issue don't get fired, you know what I mean, Patrick? Like, then you have a bunch of people speaking out about the same issue, but only the people that were maybe against the way the company felt about the issue were the ones let go. Does that raise alarm bells for you?
You know, I think it might be counterintuitive, but not really. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you're a private employer, not a public employer, you can terminate someone for speaking out on one side of an issue. I know that sounds strange when we're in the world of discrimination law, et cetera, but an employer can.
It really has to be because of one of the classes. I mean, they have to identify that that was the crux of what got you fired.
That's really what it comes down to. That's right, John.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Patrick Dolan, actually, can I keep you a little longer? I have a question about something that one of our interns at WGN Radio asked me a question about yesterday when I was filling in for John Williams. We're going to take a break, and we got the news coming up here on WGN. But afterwards, I want to ask Mr. Patrick Dolan about tattoos in the workplace. One of my interns, who doesn't have tattoos, but she sent me an article. She was curious about that, and I wanted to get Patrick's take on that. We'll do that after this break in the news on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN. 720 WGN. John Hansen here. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Patrick Dolan, employment lawyer for Conti and Dolan on the other side. Patrick, I wanted to ask you, our intern, whose last day was yesterday, Olivia, who did a lot of great stuff for the John Williams Show. I was filling in for John this week, and I was kind of tasking Olivia with just finding interesting stories, quirky things out there. And she mentioned to me that her dad and her had talked about this once, about the idea of having a tattoo and how that could potentially limit someone from getting a job and getting fired from a job. And that is certainly something I remember being told growing up. But I had never given it a second thought, Patrick. First of all, is that true? Have the laws evolved at all to kind of match the times? Or is it still kind of entirely up to the employer?
No, I think it's highly unusual for any local or state law to protect an individual from being terminated because of their tattoos. So I guess the law in that respect, depending on who you're asking, right, the law has not caught up to the times because, you know, you and I have been to a lot of businesses and seen employees with tattoos. That's certainly not unusual. But it, generally speaking, in most places in this country, is up to the employer whether they want to hire somebody with tattoos or not, or even terminate someone after they've discovered they have tattoos. So there's not a lot of protection there. I guess you could argue that for a public employer, a tattoo is akin to a political speech or a free speech element protected by the First Amendment, but not for private employers. There's no First Amendment protection there.
So tattoos sort of mirrors our first conversation earlier this hour about political speech, in that a tattoo could maybe be seen as a expression covered by the First Amendment, like you're saying, for a public employer, the federal government, but that a private employer, it runs down to the same thing. Your First Amendment rights kind of stop, essentially, when you walk in the door of a new business.
Yeah, that's correct. And, it would really be up to the local, like the city, county, or state legislature to protect folks from being discriminated against based on public appearance. And there are a few places, I think Champaign is one of them, that does have a local ordinance that protects folks from being terminated or disciplined in their job because of their personal appearance, which arguably would include tattoos. But that's the exception, certainly not the rule. I do suspect, though, as the younger folks get a little bit older and they are more apt to have tattoos, that you're going to see more local and state ordinances protect folks in their rights to have tattoos and not be treated differently in the workplace, just because of the sheer numbers.
Before we move on to my next question, I just want to say, having lived in both Champaign and Urbana, Illinois, I can just hear the people in Champaign saying, no, it was the hippies in Urbana that did that, Patrick, not to correct you. It was Urbana. And by the way, I say lovingly, and so do the people in Champaign. If you've lived down in Champaign, Urbana, like I did for 8 years, they're both wonderful places, but Urbana has the reputation of being a little bit more progressive, not hippies. I mean that lovingly. Now I'm going to get texts. 312-981-7200. Well, you can direct them to me.
Yeah, and I went to school in Madison, so I think the same analysis holds there.
Yes, exactly. maybe we're making a mountain out of a molehill, Patrick. Are more and more businesses that you've seen taking out those sorts of requirements in their workplace, documents or things that you need to do or can't have? Maybe this is just the marketplace is kind of figuring this out, that companies don't want to be on the wrong side of a tattoo policy.
I think this issue is very much like the political affiliation issue that we talked about earlier. I think companies are now much more willing to have conversations with folks about their policies and what they can do in terms of working through the issue with the employee, as opposed to just simply terminating them, which may have been the case in the past. So I think because of the increased number of younger folks who are, you know, very politically involved, especially these days, and the increase of personal appearance issues, I think companies are more apt, John, to say, you know, have a sit down and talk about it and say, listen, here's our policy. Let's see if we can find a middle ground on this before taking any definitive action.
For sure. Patrick, what sorts of people call you? What are the issues people are calling you about these days? I guess I'm asking is, you know, you do us so much favors talking about these employment law issues. Who do you help and how can people reach you?
I help anyone with a workplace issue, and a lot of them, you know, do have discrimination, retaliation, harassment issues, or if they have not been paid what they're owed. Non-competes are still issues, John. A lot of non-compete issues in the news these days. Non-competes are still enforceable. We'll see what happens in the next couple of months on that, but I still talk with folks about non-compete issues, too. So anything with regard to the workplace, I'm happy to help.
312-332-7800. 312-332-7800 is how people can reach you, right?
That's right. Thanks, John.
Don't call right now. Call Monday morning, though, because it's Saturday, right?
I'll be there. Yes.
You sure will. And arm wrestling with Karen Conti another week.
Yet again, that's how we start the week. Monday morning. That's how we start.
Are you any closer to beating her or no?
No. No, not any closer.
Does she let you like hold the arms up a little bit? And she
she just laughs at me as she beats me. It's every Monday morning I start out that way.
You're just struggling. You put both hands there, and I could just picture Karen.
I'll go to the gym later, but it doesn't matter. I'll lose on Monday.
I just picture her smiling at you, making you think. You can win, yes. And then there goes the Karen Conti push the other way.
And I walk out of her office, and we wait to do it again 7 days later.
I love that. All right, Patrick, good to talk to you, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Take care.
We'll take a break. More Let's Get Legal powered by the Illinois State Bar Association after this on 720 WGN.